Tony.
Look at that theme song. Yeah. HBO Boxing, because in moments, the great, the legend, Jim Lampley's going to join the show.
Smartest person I have ever worked with, Chris
Morales. I
would
put him up there for me with Costas. They're the equals.
Costas. Yeah. You worked with Costas?
He's a radio producer for 3 years.
Get out of here. When? Where?
2005 through 2008 at Premier Radio Networks.
I did not know that. Did he do a full-form talk show, or did
we
he
did
just
interviews
do
interviews
like...
and full-form.
Wow. Yeah, no, Costas very smart.
Costas?
Had no idea.
St. Louis guy.
Thank you.
Yeah. why don't you, like, ever call Bob and say, hey, why don't you come on our radio station?
I did that once for Travis many years ago. I don't pull
Did it work or no?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I don't pull that card.
Nah, I don't. I mean, Costas is
what
great.
Are you going to do with Bob that's going to be better than what Bob did with Bob? You can look Bob up
what
on the YouTube.
What can I do better with Bob than Bob can do with Bob? Is
right.
that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Listening to Bob.
Bob does the better Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to ask him?
Well, I'm going to talk to him about steroid suspensions
and then
Fernando
he's going to call
Tatis
me afterwards and go, Chris, never again. Meanwhile, Mason and I are on a live Imaging Thursday with Andy Kamenetsky. Continues now.
All right. Thank you very much, Christopher Morales. And Jim Lampley, as he said, is going to join us in just a minute here. By the way, on Twitter, I'm getting crushed for saying that that Dave Roberts should continue to put Craig Kimbrell in closer situations. I'm sorry, guys. You know, there's no urgency. There's no urgency to find a closer who can officially close during the postseason, at least not yet.
Not when you have a 17-game lead in the division.
But if the postseason were to start today, let's take it that way. If the postseason were to start today, who would your closer be?
Do I have any other healthy options?
Just the staff we got.
Staff we got right now, I would turn to Evan Phillips.
Yeah, me too. I've been an Evan Phillips guy all along. He's been just unbelievable. Now, I do love him in that high leverage spot in the seventh or eighth inning. He worked out of a bases loaded, no outs jam, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think. I mean, he is spectacular. But I think you've got plenty of time to work it out.
I also just think, like, you can't change this unless you absolutely have to during the postseason itself. So you want to make the move before the postseason begins, because then it starts turning into a thing
right.
during the playoffs. Like, you got to get this settled before that begins.
Yeah. So I don't know if you noticed it or not. We're having trouble connecting with Lance. Stephen A. Smith has announced he's going to write a memoir.
Yeah, I saw that.
A memoir.
A memoir.
Is it a memoir or a memoir?
A memoir.
Yeah, one of those. And Stephen A. has led a fascinating life. I'm sure the memoir will be great, and we'll all rush out to read it, and it's going to be good. Would you ever consider writing a memoir?
You know, the hardest part for a memoir would be my wife, Anna, hates the idea of publicity or, like, people knowing about her. Like, she said that my level of notoriety, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I ain't Stephen A.
But you are a Kamenetsky.
I am a Kamenetsky. Look, I get recognized, and she's she's seen me get recognized multiple times. Like, recently, because I recently moved, we had to have somebody come by and set up our cable.
Yep.
Or our internet, I'm sorry. The internet guy, as he was filling out my stuff, was like, wait a minute, Kamenetsky? He's like, Kamenetsky Brothers, Kamenetsky?
Yeah.
Like, during the pandemic, there was an Amazon guy who dropped something off but didn't do the, you know, just leave it at the door. He was just staying there. And my wife went down there and was like, do you need something? He's like, is this Andy Kamenetsky? Like, Andy Kamenetsky radio? So,
yeah,
you know, there's that level of notoriety. That in and of itself makes her uncomfortable.
But what about getting into the details?
That would make
Go
her even...
Go inside the life of Andy Kamenetsky.
That would make her even more
really?
Uncomfortable. I hope this thing is in Stephen A.'s voice. Like, it really feels like it's Stephen A. talking to you.
Yes. Although Stephen A. is... why do I say this? We know Stephen A. a little bit because he used to do the radio show, and we used to cross over with him here. Stephen A., like me, has an on and off switch.
Oh, he's very different off air.
Yeah, very has a complete on and off switch.
He's very quiet off air in my experience with him.
I am relatively quiet off air. Would you agree with that, Bergman?
You're extremely quiet off air.
I am.
Like, very, very quiet.
What Juan always says is you left the best of you on the radio. There's nothing left at the end of the day.
Is that why he likes you?
But yes.
You know what? You just explained why he's excited.
I sound very appealing, don't I?
You just explained why earlier you said that Juan is actually excited for you to come home.
Yes.
Like, he gets a docile version of
you. Yes, he does.
But I think fans, you know, people tuning in or people that would want to read Stephen A., I think in a lot of ways they're going to want to hear it like Stephen A. talking to them. Like
correct.
The best autobiography I've ever read mm-hmm. is Miles Davis's autobiography.
Mm.
And he worked with another writer.
Sure.
But it feels like Miles Davis talking. Like it is very much his cadence, his language. You can picture that raspy voice easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it an even more compelling read. So I hope Stephen A. doesn't filter himself too much. Because I don't think it'll, A, be as entertaining, B,
right.
I don't think it's going to be what people want.
So sure. But you're talking about it in his voice, and I don't think he's going out on a limb to say that he kind of screams a little bit on the radio or on TV.
I've never detected that.
Never heard that.
Never
so you
that
want him, you want to read a memoir of him yelling.
Well, the audiobook for sure. The audiobook should be really loud.
Yes.
The audio version.
Yes.
He has to do his own audiobook.
Oh, he, yeah,
nobody
absolutely
else could do Stephen A. Smith's audio version.
But look, I know Stephen A., the public figure. I don't know Stephen A., the person.
Not a bit.
That, to me, is what the autobiography memoir should be about.
I think it's going to reveal things about Stephen A. that you didn't know before and probably a different side of him, but you still want it to feel like the voice that you're most accustomed to.
Yes.
Like you want it, you don't want it to feel like it was written by somebody else with Stephen A.'s name slapped on it.
Correct.
Which he doesn't.
It's not
mean
like James Patterson.
Right.
He's got 20 writers. James Patterson has a book coming out every single week, all year long, because he's got like 10 writers in a stable cranking away for him.
Stephen A. can write.
Yeah, Stephen A. can write. He was a sports writer.
Right. So Stephen A. doesn't need somebody else to just do the writing for him.
Yep.
But if it feels like Stephen A.'s authentic voice, I think it'd be really compelling.
Bergman, ever think about writing a a lot of assistant program directors across the country have written memoirs.
You know.
And will you join that burgeoning group?
It's actually something I've been thinking about recently. I have a lot to say about my life, and I feel like if I put it into written words,
it would be
very compelling. There's actually a lot of stuff that if I actually put every single thing that happened in my life, that it would
tell us one
surprising
good thing.
No.
Oh, you're saving it for the book?
I'm saving it for the memoir. You got to read it. 1995.
Well, your heiress can help you self-publish.
Oh, she would see that. See, you're giving me more reasons to bring the heiress along.
Yes.
Back when I was young and hot, I should have married for money, but no, because I was in love. Stupid.
Stupid.
That's how it feels.
Stupid.
Are you still young and hot, though, Greg?
No. I don't think I was ever young and hot.
Are you on the wrong side of 40 yet?
No, that's in 2 years. But I'm going to be 39 in, I don't know, a little less than a month.
Yeah. I would write a memoir.
I would read that.
Yeah, I would write a memoir. I think I got pretty interesting stories and stuff. And
I would help you write it.
Yeah, how deep would you get into it? Like, would you tell everything in your memoir? Is there anything that you would hold back?
Yeah, there's stuff I would hold back.
Okay.
That's too personal.
Well, then what's the point of the memoir?
Well, because there's stuff that's just like
there's things that are allowed, not allowed, I understand. So, like, not that stuff, but, like, is there stuff that, you know, things from your childhood or things that from, you know, your early life that you wouldn't?
No, I'd include all that stuff.
You include everything.
Everything, yeah.
Would you, in the memoir, reveal Juan's real name?
No.
What would be the title?
Juan would kick my ass. Yeah, what would be the title of my memoir?
Yeah. It would actually be whispered.
Mason.
It would just be Mason, but it gets smaller. It goes Mason. But the
Carlos says Young, smaller. Wild, and Free.
Mason. Young, Wild, and Free is a great title. That was my walk-up song for the 7-10 softball game.
Both Sides of Me.
Both Sides of Me.
Because you've talked before about, you know, mental health issues and going into therapy and all that stuff. So, and you've talked about the side of you that's on air, and you've talked about the side of you that's off air. So
right.
Both Sides of Me.
That sounds too heavy.
Okay.
Too heavy.
So is this going to be a light book? A light memoir?
Yeah. I don't read long books, and I'm not going to write long books. This is embarrassing. I'm going to tell you this. So I read a lot of fiction. And when I am looking for a book, I want one that is in the low 300 pages. I don't want to read a book that is over 400 pages. Ireland read a 1,200 page book. I'm like, there is no friggin' way I like short books.
I'm usually like that, but I just bought a 466 page book. It could take me 5 years. It's the Heat sequel and prequel that Michael Mann co-wrote.
What do you mean, the Heat sequel?
the movie.
He's writing a prequel, and he already released the script.
No, it's a book. He wrote a book that is both a prequel and a sequel to the movie Heat.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's about, you know, De Niro's gang. Like what I think a lot of them met in prison, but yep. I think you also get into like De Niro's character and Val Kilmer's their childhoods. And what led them into criminality.
I like that. I like that.
You also get Pacino's cop before he ended up tangling with his crew. And then I think the aftermath is for Pacino's cop and also for Val Kilmer, because he's the one guy out of that crew that made it alive from the bank robbery. Remember?
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
But right, right.
De Niro dies. Sizemore dies. Danny Trejo dies.
Yep.
But Val Kilmer lives.
Correct.
So it's his character. And I think Pacino's character.
So we watched Heat a few, I guess a month or two ago, and Juan had never seen it. And I'll tell you what, that movie holds up
great.
Holds up great.
It's so great.
You got that last sequence at the airport. Oh, you know my favorite moment in that is where Amy Brenneman is like the girlfriend of Robert
De
Niro.
She works in a bookstore.
And he always says, well, you've got to be able to leave everything on a dime if you have to. So he makes it seem like Amy Brenneman's going to come along, and he sees her, and he's like, nope, I can't go, and just blows her off.
But remember, though, he did take her, though, to the – remember he was looking to do a couple hits before he left?
Oh, that's
She's
right.
in the car.
Brought her with him, yeah. I mean,
he grew, despite all of his own advice to himself and everybody else, he grew attached to her.
Yep, can't do that.
Nope.
Got to be able to leave in 30 seconds.
30 seconds flat.
Exactly. Yeah, Heat holds up really, really well. I would say, though, the memoir thing is interesting. There is a question of how much you would actually tell. Like, do you tell everything?
Well, because when you start telling things, it becomes not just about you. It inevitably becomes about other people. And how comfortable are they with you revealing these things about
them. That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the complicated part for me with a memoir is the people close to me, like my wife, I think my parents, like they would hate their stories being out there like that. It would make them extremely uncomfortable.
You know what I would do instead of writing a memoir is I would hire a writer, like a real kind of muckraker, to write an unauthorized biography. I mean, that would be good.
If you were hiring him, by definition, that is not unauthorized.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
That is the definition.
But it's not one of these. What I don't like is like Derek Jeter's version of Derek Jeter on The Captain. You know, telling. Now, are you watching Legacy?
Yeah.
What do you think of Legacy?
I think it's really interesting.
Do you?
I found episode 2, which is much more, I think, about the family dynamic and the kids growing up.
That's the part I'm interested in.
In the first two episodes, to me, the stuff that has been most interesting by far is the kids talking pretty honestly about Dr. Buss and, frankly, the father that he was not to them growing up. Like, there's a really, the most poignant part of it to me so far is there's this part where they're talking about Magic and the relationship that he had with Jerry Buss. And,
right.
You know, he always talked about Dr. Buss being like a second father to him and, you know, feeling like a son to Dr. Buss. And Johnny Buss said, you know, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but I don't think he really was a second son to my father. Like, I know what that's like. And, you know, believe me, that wasn't it. And on one hand, it could read like jealousy. Like,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's Magic Johnson. He thinks he's my dad's son. I'm the firstborn. But the other way of looking at it, and this is actually the way I took it, was I know what it's like to be his son. You don't get that much attention. You don't get that type of relationship with my father as his son. Because really, until he started bringing all the kids to help him with the businesses, the Lakers and the Kings, the Strings, all that stuff, he really had no relationship with his kids. So in certain respects, you could interpret it as Johnny Buss saying, like, no, this is not what it's like to be his son. Magic had it better than me.
Ah, interesting. Okay, so that's episode 2.
Yeah, I believe that's in episode 2.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of episode 1. That's not a good sign, by the way. In the middle of episode 1.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I watched last night that I thought... actually, I'll tell you this next. You guys oversold something really, really badly. Plus, updated over-under numbers in the NFL.
Oh.
Yeah, I got good stuff. Good stuff on that. Mason in Ireland. Andy Kamenetsky is in for John, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
One day I'll write a memoir. Mason and Ireland with a live imaging Thursday. I'll talk about the life of bits. Speaking of bits, I was just showing the great Tommy Lamb, our head of Fun and Games Department,
yes,
how to view the Sedano and Cap community on Twitter. He didn't know how.
I don't know either.
Well, you gotta.
How do you view it?
Well, once you're part of it, you hit the little community button. Why is it that you and Travis can't get it through your head to turn off the mic when you both do that?
Do what?
This. You both do the same thing. It drives me crazy.
What's the difference between that and Rush Limbaugh going?
You're not Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, but the point is, we all have our thing.
That's good radio, guys. Really gets me
said
going.
Said Christopher Morales. All right.
Anyway.
I have no idea
Sedano
how
and Cap,
to get in
did
the
you like
community.
How I just went off there?
Yeah, I have no idea
Sedano
how to get
and Cap
in the
are back together at 4 p.m. today.
I'm excited
today.
About that.
Now, there's the Travis and Sliwa community.
Which is there a community?
But it was started by a listener, Raul. Alan Sliwa's Murphy bed.
Great Twitter follow.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Little guy, but... And you can find it on Reddit.
Sliwa or Raul?
Both. You can find it on Reddit, the Mason and Ireland new Reddit page.
Why do you keep promoting this?
It's a swamp.
Yeah, it is a swamp.
They don't like me at all. They don't like anybody except you and John, really.
Oh, well, then I mean,
ultimately, that's what's most important.
The leader, he goes by the username Penis Thumb.
Oh,
and
nice.
He really seems to have it in for me, especially Live Imaging Tuesdays, which is now Thursday. So I know he's enjoying today.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you keep bringing up the Reddit.
Because I get these alerts.
The Reddit page.
Because when Greg first told me about the old Reddit,
yes,
I installed the Reddit app.
Okay.
And then I think I somehow followed that one, so now I get these alerts.
I do find a lot of good stuff on Reddit. It's a good place. It's a good place to troll for
you're not penis
bits and questions.
There,
no, I'm not.
You're not their leader, right?
No. If I have something, if I have an issue with you, I will take it directly to you.
You don't really have issues with me.
I don't. I'm a big Christopher Morales guy. People ask me what do you like about Chris Morales? I'm like, well, first of all, he's a friend of mine. Second of all, he makes bits, and I love bits.
The answer is everything. What do you like about Chris Morales? The answer is everything.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Hi, Mason in Ireland. Your Thursday
yes.
continues now.
All right. It's a love fest. So,
that's a good bit. This Tyler kid's pretty good.
The John Ireland dance is classic.
Don't make fun of my bestie.
Look, I said yesterday, the show is the show. Mason and Ireland is the brand. Occasionally there's a Kamenetsky or occasionally there's a Momo, but the brand is Mason and Ireland.
Why not Beto? You don't think Beto could be in that rotation?
Oh, Beto. Yeah, no, Beto was great
Clinton?
On Wednesday.
Clinton?
Tuesday. Yeah, Clinton was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time I want to learn about soccer, I say, hey, Professor Clinton, with your doctorate in soccer, tell me how big the pitch is.
How big is the pitch? Anyway, Mason and Ireland.
All right. Thank you. So you guys, did you watch some Anti-Teo documentary?
I have not yet.
Okay. Bergman, you watched it, right?
I have not.
Oh, okay. So
did
let
you
me
want
give
me to
it,
say yes?
This
I could
is
say
a
yes.
public service
I know
announcement.
What happened.
I heard it yesterday. Everybody talked it up. Boring as hell.
Really?
It is boring as hell.
What about it is boring? Because people still consider it a really wild story.
It's the pacing of it. It is so slow. I wouldn't watch it.
Really?
I turned it off. I mean, it's a fascinating story. There's a better documentary to be made, something a little edgier and something a little bit more paced better. But, man, that is some slow drudgery.
I heard Momo talking about it. It sounds like it's more about the catfisher than Manti Te'o.
100%. It is about the catfisher, and it's not so much about Manti.
And why she did what she did, correct?
Yes, correct. Correct.
And that still wasn't interesting? Because it seems like that in and of itself is a pretty fascinating story. Is it just told that badly?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know who made that. But it's not a great documentary. It's not.
Momo was very, very excited about it.
She was so excited about it.
She was so into it that I had to tell you in your ear, break time.
Yeah, no, I went home specifically because Momo was all amped up about it. And I was like, let's watch this right away. And I was like...
So she oversold the hell out of it.
Way oversold. So anyway.
What
if I told you there's a documentary? So if you're out there and you're thinking about the Manti Te'o
Manti Te'o was great. Venice Mace is wrong. So there you have it. There are people on the other side of this.
Untold, the girlfriend who didn't exist.
Yes. Do you ever get catfished?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you ever catfish anybody?
No.
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 Seems time consuming.
So
time consuming.
That's the way
someone.
I've talked about, like, an affair. Like, having an affair does not appeal to me, A, because I would not want to hurt my wife that
sure,
way. I would not want to hurt my daughter that way.
Right.
Also, though, my God, it's a lot of work. It is so much work to maintain
to balance,
an affair.
To keep those balls in the air at the same time?
It's
spinning
sounds,
two plates?
Look, let's be honest. One relationship can be a drag.
I can barely handle my own.
Two?
Yeah.
Like, two full-on things? Because you have to maintain an affair.
Yep.
You have to spend enough time to keep that other person happy. Like, you have to keep them invested in what you're doing.
Right.
So that is essentially two, like, we're not talking about a side piece thing or like a one night stand.
Right, right.
We're talking about a full blown affair.
Yeah.
That is juggling, like, that is work.
Right.
Hell no.
I'm always amazed by these guys who, I've got a family in Cleveland and one in Boise and one in Austin. And I'm just bouncing around. I'm on business, honey. How do people do that? And by the way, how do you not figure it out? I feel for the people to get in that kind of situation. But how do you not figure out that he's got a family somewhere else?
If they're that far away and they are always dealing with that family in a completely different setting.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this. If you're going to do it, the further away, probably the better.
Yeah. All right. Joining us right now. Yesterday, we had this conversation on the show. They asked me, who's the smartest person you've ever worked with? And I said, Jim Lampley. And the very, very smart Jim Lampley joins us right now. Hey, Lamps, how are you, man?
Well, I'm fine. I'm not so smart that I was alert enough to recognize the phone call about 15, 20 minutes ago. So maybe I'm now the dumbest person that you ever worked with. But at the end of the day, I'm alive and well in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. How are you?
Not everything is great, man. So you're teaching at Chapel Hill, right?
That is correct. It's a one of those full circle revolutions. I live in the closest residence to the campus in Orange County, North Carolina. I wake up every day and look through my shuttered windows to the original quad where the campus was begun in 1791. And I look at the place where I originally flunked out, dropped out, tried to destroy my entire life, eventually came back, miraculously reconstituted my academic career, finished undergraduate school, went to graduate school, won a talent hunt, started my broadcasting career. All of it is right here in front of me as I stand out the window and stand at the window and look out at McCorkle Place right now. And several years ago, on a fundraising event trip to Los Angeles, the chancellor suggested to me that maybe I'd want to come teach, and I said, yeah. And so I'm in my fourth semester of teaching Communications 490, Evolution of Storytelling in American Electronic News Media, which is a course of my own devising that I invented for the department where I went to graduate school.
Cool, man. That is awesome.
What is Professor Lampley like in class? Like, are you strict? Do you have a syllabus? Do you wear one of those jackets with the patches on the elbows? Like, what do you like as a teacher?
I don't have patches on my elbows. Everything else, I don't think I would say I'm overwhelmingly strict. I'm structured. I do lectures, and the lectures are written. There's a historical element because we begin with the first radio transmissions of news in 1920, and we go all the way through tracking the development of electronic news transmission and storytelling to the point where we are right now. And if you were to say, okay, boil all that down, Jim, and tell us what the real topic of the course is, I would say the real topic of the course is truth. and the societal convention of truth, the gentleman's agreement about what truth is, the importance of truth to a news ecosystem. What are the implications for our society if we've lost it and can't get it back? And that's what my students and I discuss every day.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. We're a little short on time. I definitely want to get you on my podcast at some point, Jim. I would love to have you on for 30 minutes and be able to do a fuller conversation. But I want to ask you about the Joshua fight on, I think this is Saturday night. What do you think?
Well, Usyk was the better boxer the first time, and there's no reason to believe that Usyk won't be the better boxer the second time. I don't see any way in which Joshua could have put together a technique refurbishment sufficient to cover up the deficit that existed the first time around. Usyk beat him to the punch. He had better angles. He found more ways to get over. I was shocked. I thought Anthony was going to be the next great heavyweight after he knocked out Vladimir in Wembley Stadium several years ago. But sometimes in boxing, overwhelming, enormous success is followed by less of a consistent, ongoing, meticulous effort. And if there's one fighter in the world who you can see has put together an ongoing, constant, meticulous effort over the course of the past several years, it's Oleksandr Usyk. So I would have to pick Usyk again, but I think it would be great for the sport if Anthony could revive his career and at least chart a path back toward the top, because he's an attractive personality, and for Britain to have a star like that is great fun for them. Obviously, they have an even greater star in Fury.
Yep.
And that's an entirely different kind of personality. And Fury is, even for Usyk, I think Fury is likely an unbeatable heavyweight champion if he continues to choose to fight and if he stays in shape and fights the way he has.
All right. Hey, listen, Jim, thanks a lot for doing this. Again, I want to connect to you with you for a longer conversation, but I appreciate you jumping on the show a lot. Congratulations on your professorship at UNC, where it all started. Thanks, man. Glad you're doing well.
My privilege. Thank you so much. I'm sorry that I missed the first call. I love you, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. Jim Lampley. Now, doesn't he sound he's
very smart.
He's very smart.
Love will keep you two together.
Yeah.
He just said that he loves you.
He had the famous line. I worked with him at Fox Sports Radio for a couple of years, and we did a show together. And you see how I dress. I mean, T-shirt, shorts.
Yeah.
He said once, you dress like an unmade bed.
That's actually a great way. You're rumpled.
Our friend Colin Coward once described me as, he said, I look like a flood victim.
That's a little harsh.
That is rough. But funny.
It is funny.
But rough. All right, coming up next for you, got some over-under numbers in the NFL. Rams number, Raiders number. If you're a Chargers fan, Chargers, all that stuff coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They're not. All right.
I'm going to start a podcast just so I can ask Mace to be on my podcast.
I would
like
love to
does.
Be on your podcast.
Would you?
By the way, if there's anybody out there that wants me to be in their podcast, I'm happy to do it. Just DM me at Venice Mace.
Slide in your DMs?
Yeah, just slide right in with your podcast name.
Should they send pics?
No, I do not need pictures. I don't. Do you have ever, anybody ever slide into your DMs, Christopher Morales? Yeah?
Yeah, that's how I make a lot of my business.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, give me an example.
I'll give you an example. Like listeners or females?
The last time a female slid into your DMs.
It happened earlier this morning.
Really? Get out of here.
Can now, are you talking about somebody I know?
No, I'm talking about somebody you don't know.
So strange DMs.
Yeah, correct.
A fresh DM from like out of nowhere? That's probably been like a couple months.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
There are.
Because you're a pretty public person.
But you don't want people just sliding in.
No, you strike me, Chris, yes, as somebody with really wide open DMs. Like, you know, you can have your DMs open.
Oh, they're open, baby. They're free.
Yours are.
You can come in there with anything you
yours
want.
Yours are like the Grand Canyon.
You want me to be Bitcoin? You want me to be verified? By the way, how great is the Sedano's going to... Shit, we talked about this in our morning meeting today when I was on the train.
Yep.
About the bit about you wanting to be verified. Because he actually pointed it out while he was on vacation. He sent me a screenshot
of
your comments on your Instagram.
Yeah.
And there was one of those scammers that basically says, hey, you want to get verified? And Mace was like, I want that more than anything. How do I do it?
Did I respond to him?
Yeah, you're going to get hacked. You're going to end up by Greg. And then we're going to have to get Radio Mace 710.
But somebody, I mean, you're in management. You should know how to get me
verified.
I am not.
I am a consultant.
You're a consultant.
A management type consultant.
Yeah, management. I mean,
why is our job, with all the things we got going on, okay? We got Clinton Yates trying to be part of every show.
He's a professor of soccer.
We got events. We got a plan for Mandy's, too. The big mission statement.
Yes.
We just got sold a few months ago.
Yep.
Oh, we got to get Steve Mason verified. Isn't you being beloved by our audience enough?
Well, but here's the problem. Some people search
who?
Steve Mason.
No, people that he's trying to get on his
podcast. There are multiple Steve Masons.
Corporate Greg, people that he's trying to get on his podcast.
No,
the
no.
The beloved audience of ours, they don't care whether you have a blue check mark or not.
For my validation.
If you really want to be a man of the people, you go no blue check mark.
No.
Oh yeah. See, I like that better. And also, if you go through your Instagram,
yeah,
it's mostly your podcast.
Yeah, it is. Although there's a lot.
Does that need to be verified? If it was pictures of you and things that you're doing,
Corey, you been to my Instagram lately?
That's probably why they won't verify you. Actually, because it looks like it's just a spammer.
No, it's
spammer.
Doesn't. There's are you kidding me? Look at the stuff on my
Instagram.
It's
all posts about your podcast.
It's a lot of posts
about
your podcast.
It isn't.
It isn't?
There's me hitting a tackling dummy. There's me with Jacob Imrani. There's me with my chain. There's me with Sean McVay. There's me. I mean,
that's all there amongst 400 posts weekly
about
your podcast.
Every row is at least one podcast.
That's true.
Andy every going row. In on you. Are you on Instagram?
There's only three per row, by the way.
I am on Instagram, but I barely do anything with
it. You don't slide in my DMs.
I didn't even know you were on Instagram until now.
Really? Come on.
No. I assumed, but I didn't know.
I tag you on Instagram.
I didn't know you were under your own name on Instagram. That's the difference.
Yeah. Do you and Brian share that like you share your Twitter?
No. We actually have separate Instagram accounts.
I wasn't trying to be funny. I want to know if I slide in your DMs to bash Brian and vice versa, because that's sort of my bit here.
Sure. Yes, it is. It is the bit.
No, I know.
Control the puppet strings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I want to know, can I do that freely or no?
Oh, yes, you can.
Okay.
They are separate Instagram accounts.
Really?
I don't even know Brian's handle. I just know he has one. I have not.
I guarantee he's not verified.
He probably is.
It's really hard to get verified.
How great would it be if he was? That the Lockdown Podcast got verified.
Totally pissed me off.
Oh, here's the thing, Greg. We got to work on getting everybody verified who's not except Mace.
Oh, that would be amazing. All right, so let's see. Tyler, are you verified?
I'm not verified, no.
Guess what you're going to be.
Let's go.
Wow. Tyler has been here 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's been a good 10
minutes. Before
you. It's not that hard.
Wandered in pressing buttons.
Is Cappy verified?
Mm. Oh, if Cappy's verified.
He's not.
How do you know?
Because I see Cappy's Instagram
all
the time.
He's got sighted.
Let's look at it. Oh,
yeah.
No,
he's not.
He's not.
I think it is it's just a courtesy to be verified.
Weren't you, though, unverified for a long time on Twitter?
On Twitter forever.
How'd you get verified on Twitter?
Yeah. How'd you do that?
I publicly went on the radio and said, why am I not verified on Twitter? Which is what I'm doing with Instagram now.
It's a different thing, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right. Twitter, they're more worried about that. Instagram.
They don't care.
It's not as big of an issue unless you give somebody your password like Greg did. Then it becomes an issue.
I didn't actually give a password. Just
well, what did you do?
I just took a picture and some I don't know. It's a hard thing to explain.
Just don't do it. Ask for a picture, Mace, to get verified,
do
don't do it.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I will not do it.
Well, I ate up 5 minutes for you there.
You did.
Mason in Ireland.
Hey, which other stuff. Pretty good, Morales. You don't have to say
other
it like
than that.
That,
you know, it's been bumpy a little
bit. Well, we don't want to talk about the
Shut up.
Mason in Ireland with Andy Kamenetsky continues right now.
They all suck. All right, Andy. You are a rant? What NFL team do you root for?
Arizona Cardinals.
Really? Based on what?
That they were originally in St. Louis. I grew up a St. Louis Cardinal fan. They left, and for a while I abandoned them.
Yeah.
But then as I got older, I started feeling a little bit nostalgic, and I have readopted them as my team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because we usually beat Arizona twice a year.
Yeah, you sure do.
So I got a question for you. There's a poll out where they went through every state and they figured out who their pick for the Super Bowl was.
Mm-hmm.
So which team do you think is the favorite to win the Super Bowl in the most states?
In the most states?
Yes.
Which team
and
is?
There, and it's a dominating number. 12 states are picking this team to win the Super Bowl.
Buccaneers.
No. Buccaneers, 3 states say the Buccaneers. 12 states say Buffalo will win the Super Bowl this year.
I can see that. They are a team on the – they've been on the upswing. Josh Allen is a really exciting quarterback. He's got a lot of weapons. They've got a good defense.
Yep.
If they happen to get home field advantage – that is a really hard place to play.
Oh,
Buffalo.
That is hard. People are jumping on tables.
People are jumping on tables. You got the wind. You got the snow potentially. So that actually makes sense.
So who do you think is the next one is 5 states. 5 states are picking this team to win the Super Bowl.
Rams.
It is. It is the Rams. 5 teams picking the 5 states picking the Rams to win the Super Bowl. Then Dallas, Denver, and New England are the others. Part of this is regional, right? So
sure.
If you look at the map, there's an actual map here. I'll tweet it out.
And they're
going California, to... actually Arizona, Oregon. I mean, it's kind of West Coast, and Hawaii are all Rams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
And this is polling of fans. It's not polling of media or anything like that, right?
Correctly. It's just tracking hashtags and
right.
stuff like that. So, yeah, the Rams. Now, the one thing I'll say, Buffalo, do you think Buffalo travels? Because we've got Buffalo on the first night of the year on September the 8th.
I think anytime you have a team in L.A., you can count on that fan base traveling because people will want to come to L.A. anyway. There's a lot you can do in L.A. You can make a weekend of it. You know that the weather's likely going to be good. It's a fun place to be. You'd want to go just to see the stadium.
Yeah.
SoFi's incredible.
Oh, it's amazing.
So, yeah, I imagine that game against Buffalo, you'll see a decent amount of blue and white there.
So do you think the Bills Mafia people will be jumping on tables at SoFi Stadium?
I mean, they
go up to the top of a truck, and then they just fall through a table. And it looks like it could hurt.
It looks so painful. There have been people who look like they have legit injured themselves. Plus, you're doing it in the cold. It's going to sting. That slap is going to sting of the hurt.
Here's what I was thinking. I like a good bit.
Yeah.
So I've got nothing against the Bills fans. How would I do falling onto a table from the top of a truck? You want some Instagram fodder.
Oh, my God.
Me falling from the top of a truck through a table.
The last time you attempted something like that, you broke your foot.
Correct. Broke my foot, broke my face.
Yes.
I've had moments like that.
Well, here's the difference, though. The mace plant, to the best of my knowledge, was not intentional.
It was completely inadvertent.
You know what's funny about that, though? I'm not kidding. I think I've told you this before. You fell, ultimately, a couple times. Like, you fell, started to get up, and fell again. You fell with such force.
Gusto.
And like flailing. Yeah, with such panache. I actually thought it was a bit for the crowd that went sideways.
No, you didn't.
Yo, I did.
I broke my nose.
I know.
Stitches in my lip.
I realized once you were completely out of it on our bench, no, he wasn't faking this.
My favorite part of that clip is, so after I had the famous mace plant, we went down to the – I got up, and I went down to the other end of the court, and I was going to play defense and all that – or I was going to play offense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see me pulling my jersey like this, like, get me out of the game. Get me out of the game. And I think our coach was – was it Jason Collins or Jaren Collins?
I wasn't here yet.
I think it was Jason Collins was our coach, and he got me out of the game right
yeah.
away.
Yeah, I mean, but in the beginning, though, I mean, once you were on the bench, I was like, no, Mace actually did this for real. This was not a bit.
Yep.
You just flailed so much, and you fell so big. I was like, oh, he's doing this. Like, he's practiced this. Like, this was a bit that he's
practiced. I rehearsed that.
Like, I thought you rehearsed it. Because also, too, you kind of fell out of nowhere. Like, there really wasn't much prompting.
Well, there was a hard foul by Corey Maggette at the beginning of that
play. But your reaction, though, was pretty delayed.
Yes.
Like,
yes, it was.
It took a while before all of a sudden you fell. So, again, that's why I thought it was a bit.
Right.
I thought you were just playing to the crowd.
Nope.
And giving them what you wanted, which is Steve Mason falling down.
Yep. Nope. That was real.
Oh, it was definitely real.
That was real.
It was 100% real.
By the time I got to the ER, the doctors knew it was real, too.
So just think about that before you do the table.
Yeah, what do you think, Bergman? Can I fall off a truck through a table like with the Bills Mafia guys just for fun?
I mean, Mace.
What?
This is like doing the crate challenge.
Yeah,
that you
why
want to do.
Can't
no,
I do
No, you
crate
cannot
challenge.
Do the
I
crate challenge.
I want to do the milk crate challenge.
You cannot fall off of a truck onto a table. None of these things fit you specifically.
I mean, look, man. I say this as delicately as possible. Yeah. You're not as
Don't
young
be delicate.
As you used to be.
We are, by the way, we are going to go skydiving, though.
Totally
as
down
a,
for that.
As a station?
No.
And not a station event at all. Me, Bergman,
can't
Ireland.
Can't get the insurance from Good Karma on that
willing
one?
To go. I don't know who from the – people will go.
No, we can't do anything with the station.
But we can go skydiving.
We can
Nobody
go
can
skydiving.
From
yes.
going skydiving. No, but it's not a station.
Who's down for this? Who's doing
I'm
it?
I'm down for it.
I am.
Yeah.
Have you gone before?
I think Ireland said he was.
Yeah, Ireland's down for it.
You seem like somebody who skydived.
Yeah, I did it in my 20s. I thought it was the craziest, coolest thing in the world. In fact, you know, you float all the way down, and I jump solo. You float all the way down, and you just have this high, this adrenaline high from having just jumped out of an airplane.
Did you see there's this video that's gone viral of this guy who went skydiving, no parachute, went into this massive net.
What?
Like, yes, it's real.
From how high?
Very. I think like 25,000 feet.
Get out of here, and he lands in a net?
He landed, he steered himself. This is clearly like a
right,
professional.
Right, you fly, you can control
right.
your, yeah,
and
like
he,
Superman.
He got himself in the net, but I got to tell you, he was close enough to the edge of the net that you get nervous
Whoa,
watching this. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yes.
That's scary.
So here's a real question about the skydiving, though, and mm-hmm. thank you, Cappy, for this. Should we invite Clinton or no?
Well, he has a PhD in skydiving.
So what you want to do is you want to put your arms out, let them flail around a little bit.
You can steer it this way. Sure.
You know, and of course he can come.
So you went solo?
But if we don't invite him, will he invite himself is the question.
Oh, he won't. But I. But
no,
I,
he would.
Here, I like
but he,
Clinton.
No, I
why
so do,
we,
I,
why
no,
do
I. Miss,
why do you not want Clinton?
I spend a good amount of time with Clinton.
I'm
like
all
Clinton
like,
a lot.
Yeah, let's go CY.
Yeah,
CY can be part
go.
Of everything around here. Yeah, I went solo the first time.
Is that pressing it up? Is that considered pressing it up, not going tandem your first try?
Well, I don't even think there was such a – I didn't know anybody who did tandem jump. I was on a static cord, so it pulled the – shoot open for me the moment I jumped out of the plane.
Okay, so they did not leave that part of it
there was
to
no
you.
There was no free fall, and I'll be honest with you, I falling like that, I would never have had the presence of mind to be able to reach, grab a cord,
that,
and pull
that's
it.
Why I was like, wow, they let you do that the first
yeah,
time
no,
out. That's
no, absolutely not. All right, coming up next for you is Bobcat. Bergman's got a bunch of stuff to throw at us. Mason in Ireland, Andy's in for John 710 ESPN.
Live imaging Thursday. I didn't know if that was my headphones or what.
Very loud.
Mason in Ireland.
there's
it's Round Ball Rock.
Yeah, Round Ball Rock.
We were talking about that on Travis at Sliwa. Meanwhile, it is time for Bobcat, Corporate Greg. I'm doing the sound effects myself. Anyway, time for Corporate Greg.
Bobcat.
To do stuff about stuff, right?
Yes, stuff about stuff.
Take it away, Corporate Greg.
Bobcat.
Thanks, Christopher.
Oh, now you're trying to do like producer Lindsay.
I just wanted to do it the one time.
Yeah.
But thanks,
that was
Chris.
Actually pretty good. You kind of sounded like her.
Well, she does it on, like, she goes into this like whiny thing on purpose.
Yeah.
So I like it. Yeah.
On purpose.
Right. It is on purpose.
It is on purpose.
Hashtag it is 100% on purpose.
She's not whiny at all.
Question number one.
Question number one. USC head coach Lincoln Riley was very happy to bring in $3 million superstar wide receiver Jordan Addison this offseason. Well, the coaching staff is not quite sure what to do with him, saying they'll figure it out and figure out because they're not sure exactly where he fits just yet. Does this give you any pause about the fit and return on investment?
100% not at all. First of all, the investment, let's say it all goes south and never works. Jordan Addison never fits and it makes it. what's that $3 million? That's just a loss leader for all intents and purposes. But I think that Lincoln Riley is an offensive genius and will figure out a way to make Jordan Addison fit into exactly what USC's got going on. They don't have a game till September 3rd or September 5th against Rice at the Coliseum.
Third?
Yeah, I think it's the third. But, yeah, no, I have full confidence in Lincoln Riley figuring out how to use Jordan Addison.
Yeah, I mean, if Addison is as talented as everybody thinks he is, and we know how good of an offensive guy Riley is, I'm not worried about this guy becoming like their Tavon Austin.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that you can't figure out what to do with, like a gadget guy.
Yes.
I think it's going to be fine. And like you said, the investment ain't my money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if Rick Caruso spent $3 million on Jordan Addison, thank you. But, you know, let's get the next guy.
I mean, he's not going to notice.
Yeah, he won't notice. A few less commercials.
Yeah, he just pulled out a $3 million bill. And
Exactly.
Bobcat.
All right, so have you heard of quiet quitting? It's a massive TikTok trend, apparently, okay, that I didn't know about until today. Here's what it's about. And there's the button.
If you don't know about quiet quitting, you need to. Quiet quitting is this trend that is sweeping workers, where workers are taking back their time and their extra time and their mental space to allow for more than just work in their lives. But there's a misconception that's already happening amongst the traditional old guard. They're saying that quiet quitters are lazy or are don't have goals or don't have are not high achievers, and that's not true. When you quietly quit, you can still have goals and still be a high achiever, but you don't have to stress yourself out and give up all the other joys in life and only focus on work to get where you want to go. Quiet quitting is empowering, it's rewarding, and it's something that you should try doing today. If you don't know about
So
what is quiet quitting? You never actually described
what
what
quiet quitting is basically you're paid to do a job.
Correct.
There's a certain thing that you're paid to do. Basically, don't do the other stuff that your bosses want you to do extra. You're paid to do what you do, so do that stuff. But quietly quit doing all those other things.
All the extra stuff.
So what do you think of quiet quitting?
I generally don't admire quitters. Just as a rule. And, you know, so let's take this place.
Yeah.
We all do extra.
Yes.
If all of a sudden we said, okay, I'm not doing this one and I'm not doing that one, I'm not going here, I'm not going there, it would be uncool.
It would be very uncool. To me, it sounds like they're just saying, that's not my job.
It sounds lazy.
Hands up, that's not my job.
You don't want to be taken advantage of at your work. I think it's one thing to make sure that people understand what your worth is, what your job is, and what your job isn't. And you don't want to be taken advantage of. And that's something that has gone on in the workplace since the beginning of time.
Right.
But the flip side is, if some people quietly quit, if that's how you're calling this, and other people don't, what you're really doing is just sticking other people with your work. Because somebody's going to do it.
Somebody's going to do it, exactly.
So, like, basically, everybody has to quietly quit or nobody can quietly quit. Otherwise, you're basically just saying somebody else do it.
Right. I personally believe that. So let me say this isn't everybody. Not everybody gets emotionally invested in their job. Now, we prize those people that are emotionally invested, that take pride in the station, that want to do all the stuff, all that. Now, if you've got like a more regular job, I understand why you don't want to do the extra stuff. They're not paying you for that. So I get the quiet quitting thing. It wouldn't fly around here, but I understand why you wouldn't want to do the extra work at wherever it is you want to do the work, and you just want to do the work that you're supposed to do.
Okay, you know, it's interesting, actually.
Well done.
And I sent this to you guys as a potential Bobcat item.
Uh-huh.
Jonah Hill recently announced, the actor.
I saw this,
that he's not going to be doing promotion for any of his upcoming movies anytime soon, because he said it brings him incredible anxiety. He doesn't like the process of it. I think he finds it intrusive, all that stuff. And he's felt like it brings out the worst in him. So he's not doing this anymore. On one hand, I understand somebody wanting to take care of themselves mentally.
Sure.
On the other hand, though, there are these huge investments in these movies.
Yep.
And people's careers are affected by a guy of Jonah Hill's stature not promoting the movie, not trying to have it do as well at the box office as possible. So unless there are other stars with him that are willing to do a little extra promotion, that could put all of his projects in jeopardy, even if the reasons that he has for not doing the promotion you can sympathize with.
Well, here's so I did a Q&A with Jonah Hill a few years back, and he was totally great with the crowd. This came as a surprise to me. But if I'm casting a movie, if I am a director,
yeah,
or a studio, I probably am not going to cast Jonah Hill if he's not willing to do the press, which is, to me, part of the gig.
Well, if nothing else, you can't cast Jonah Hill in a movie where he's the biggest star.
Sure.
If there are other big stars that are willing to do that stuff, then fine. But if Jonah Hill is the guy that's supposed to be putting butts in seats,
yep,
and he won't promote it, you're right. I don't know if you can get a movie like that greenlit.
Bobcat.
He's quiet quitting.
He is quiet quitting.
He is quiet quitting. All right, Tyler. Sorry. It's very difficult. With
Tyler.
Tyler. Tyler, what you got?
The answer to this next question has cost many a friendship. Hmm. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Okay, a question we've never tackled here on the show.
This is the first time.
First time. But Tyler, it's first time for Tyler. So I don't like fruit in my food. I've never liked fruit in my food. I don't want apple slices in my salad. I don't want mandarin oranges in my Chinese chicken salad.
You don't want Momo's drink.
I don't want Momo's drink. She's putting pineapple into tea. It's like, I don't want fruit in my food. Mm-hmm. Fruit is in the dessert course. It's not in the main course. So I don't want cranberries. I don't want any of that stuff they throw in a salad just to make it look fancy. I don't want any of that stuff.
Look, I'm not offended by pineapple on pizza the way some people are, but I don't think it works. Like, I don't think texturally it works. It's too watery for a lot of pizza.
What do people know? It's pineapple and shrimp, right?
That's No, pineapple and like Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon. Yeah. That's
also the Hawaiian.
Yeah. Hawaiian pizza, right.
I don't
pineapple
think
it, and shrimp.
Yeah.
That's a pineapple and shrimp is a no-go.
I don't know. Actually, I think if you did that in sort of like an island style, you could make that work. Pineapple and shrimp.
Maybe like a ceviche, but not pizza.
Yeah, I agree with Tyler.
I don't love it as a pizza thing.
Yeah, like, I don't love it as
again,
a pizza thing.
Again, I'm not outraged by it the way some pizza purists get.
No,
but
you pineapple people keep doing your pineapple thing.
But I'll be honest, I think the pineapple people, they're trying too hard.
They are.
They want you to think that they're like iconoclasts for doing their pineapple pizza thing.
Iconoclast.
You know what, man? You're not impressing anybody.
What's the meaning of the term iconoclast?
Somebody who does things differently. Like, you are known for doing things differently than
your
everybody
own
else.
Way.
Yeah.
Okay, got
like,
it.
Like you're the Madonna of pizza. It's like, get over yourself.
Excellent.
Bobcat.
All right, last one. So Taylor Lautner of those vampire movies.
Tyler.
No, not Tyler Lautner. This is Taylor Lautner.
We've got Tyler, Taylor.
And now Taylor Lautner.
Taylor again. Yeah.
Right. Taylor Lautner. Taylor Lautner is of those vampire movies that I'm completely forgetting the name of right now.
Twilight.
Thank you. Is getting engaged to someone named Taylor Dome. So Taylor Lautner will be married to Taylor Lautner. How would you feel about being married to someone with the same name as you?
Definitely weird. If I was in love, I was in love, because you know I believe in love.
Of course you do.
So if the person happened to be named Steve or Mason, I would be like, fine. I like that name.
But in your mind, Steve would be taking your name, not the other way around.
That's correct. That's like, correct.
You ain't taking his name.
It is a weird situation. Like, I knew a couple.
Mr. and Mrs. Taylor Lautner.
I knew I had a friend named Eric, okay? His boyfriend was Eric. So they became the Erics, right?
Right.
It was weird having two guys named
it's kitchen.
Eric. It is. So like,
Andy is a female name also, Andy McDowell.
Yeah.
So
Andy, I'm married to A-N-D-I or yeah. A-N-D-I-E Kamenetsky.
Yeah, so it's Andy Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky.
I mean, that is a real what are the odds thing.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
Like that is. I kind of feel like if I meet a woman named Andy Kamenetsky, I kind of
she's taking your name.
Well, but wasn't she originally, though?
No, this one's Taylor Dome.
Okay, got it. So
she'll now be Taylor Lautner.
Right, so it's Taylor Lautner and Taylor Lautner.
Yeah,
it's weird, but I mean, love is love, man.
I don't think it's that. Yeah.
Love is love.
All right.
Can't help who you fall in love with.
Bobcat.
That'll do it.
Thank you very much. Coming up next for you, Robert Plant, who was
with Led Zeppelin,
says that he can still sing, but it doesn't satisfy him anymore. So the question is, when do you know it's time to stop? When do you know it's time to stop? We'll do that coming up next, both with athletes and in life. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.